I've been promising you that today you are going to learn not only the importance of reading the Word, and that's the title of our sermon, but also you're going to learn how to read the Word. How to read the Word so as to be able to receive the divine revelation of the Word. And also you are going to learn the blessings that are awaiting you if you are a student of the Word. Amen? And so if you have been paying attention to the last few sermons that I have been able to provide to you, they are sermons that were the last 2 weeks, I should say, they are sermons that acted as a foundation for what you're about to receive today. Last week, if you remembered, we talked about the full armor of God. And we came to find out that Paul was notifying us in the one true scripture, the passage of information that he gave us, starting in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, that we need to put on the full armor of God, not the half of the armor, not a part of the armor. Why? So as to be able to stand firm against the wiles of the enemy, so as to be able to stand firm against the trickery, the cunning, the coyness of Satan. And so we put on the full armor of God, but we came to find you can't wear the full armor of God if you don't have the belt of truth. Without the truth belt, none of the other armor is going to fit. You are going to walk around as a naked Christian, and you are going to be absolutely beat up. You are going to be destroyed by Satan. And that's what's happening with so many Christians. They don't understand the Word of God, so they give up reading it. They lose a heart in it, and we're going to change that factor this morning. This morning, I'm not going to give you a preaching. It's going to be the first time on any given Sunday I felt led of God to give you a teaching. And so if I get carried away and start preaching, I'll try to reel it in, because ultimately I want you to get the fine-tuned nuggets of understanding of what it truly means and how to acquire the divine revelation of reading, of when you're reading the Word of God, so that you don't quit, you don't give up, and you don't walk around that the enemy is blasting you and stealing from you any longer. Amen? And so this information that I'm about to give to you, God had laid it on my heart long before we went on vacation. When my wife was down there like a fish in a frying pan in 98 degrees weather, and she was on the ocean, on the beach at the ocean, she was frying. And I wouldn't go out there because I don't like to fry. I don't like heat. And so I stayed in the room and I watched a whole venue of sports, most of which was golf. And I watched some baseball. And so it was a nice air-conditioned setting. And even as I was there and I was doing what I was wanting to do and enjoying my day, God started speaking to me and started giving me even more information as to what he wanted me to give to you this morning. So I took a notepad and a pen, and I start writing some stuff down so that I could possibly give it to you. God had made it very clear to me that this information is vital. It's the change difference of you being alive or you getting killed. That's how important it is that you know how to read the Bible. Amen? And so you please recognize the importance of it. Why is God so wanting us to know how to read his Word? It's imperative because he knows that there's a whole lot of Christians who don't make it a habit of reading the Word of God. Therefore, they don't meditate on the Word of God. And therefore, they don't live their lives according to the Word. And because of that, they are falling short of all the blessings and all the truisms of what heaven has to offer you. And so it's imperative that every one of you that are here don't fall asleep. Listen to what's about to be broadcasted. For everyone that's listening, and we have, I don't know how many thousands of people listen by means of the internet, but they too are the audience that God wants to touch. And so every one of us, we need to listen to the exact information of what God is saying at this hour. Amen? So I want to start out and I want to challenge you. And as I remember what I said, more than hearing an amen, I want to see paper and pen. Write down, you have the back of the bulletin. You have where you can keep your sermon notes. Take a pen. If you don't have a pen, raise your hand. Sandy will give you a pen so that you can revisit the information as necessary. Amen? So the one thing I want to challenge you with, when you go home this week, I would challenge you to read the entirety of Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I suggest you read that over and over and over, as often as you think you can possibly read it. It is the longest chapter in the Bible. And it has a singular theme. And the theme that it has is the blessings and the benefits of living according to the Word of God. Living according to the Word of God. Psalm 119 lays it all out for you to understand how you can be blessed in every situation if you are a student of the Word. And Psalm 19 is beautifully summed up in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Here's what Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says. God had said to Joshua, "Thy servant Moses is dead. Now, Joshua, you are in control. You are going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land." And here it says in verse 8, God says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." Notice he didn't say, "This book of the law shall not depart from your heart," even though it should never leave your heart. David said, "I have hidden thy word in my heart that I shall not sin against you." He also didn't say, "Do not let this word depart from your mind." You are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind by the word of God. So your mind and your heart should always retain the word of God. But here God is saying, don't let this word depart from your mouth. Why is that? Remember what we talked about last week? The last article of the armor that we talked about was a piece of the armor that is for not defense, but offense. It is the dagger. It is a small little sword. Remember, it's sharp on two edges, and it can cut going in, twist it, and it'll cut coming out. You can tear your enemy apart with it. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? That it will absolutely go to the very marrow of the bones, and it will discern the thoughts of man. That's what the word of God says. And so this sword is an offensive weapon. It's an offense. All the other ones, you stand firm. James chapter 4, verse 7, you submit to the Lord, which means put on the fullness of the armor, which means put on Jesus, stand firm, and resist the devil, and he will flee. But when he comes and he wants to approach a little harder, you have a sword. And that sword is the utterance of God. It is the utterance of God. It is a rhema word. It is a word that will drive the tactics of the enemy away and take him out of your path. You say, well, how does that work? Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. A lot of people are naked, and therefore they don't have the armor on. They don't have the breastplate of righteousness on. And so Satan is filling up their heart with all the filth and immorality of this world. Then when they are in a dire situation, all they can do is cuss and fuss. That's all you can do because you don't have the word of God. So what comes out of you is all the filth, all the language of this world. And it's not going to serve you any good. But when you have the word enlisted in you, because your heart is protected, now you are feeding your spirit and the word is in your heart. Now out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth will speak the word of God, but not just the word of God, a rhema word. A word that will definitely, it's a defined word that will drive the powers of darkness away, whatever the tactic is that Satan is using. You say, well, how can I do that? How would I know what word to bring out? You don't have to worry about it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 says, don't be afraid when you stand before kings and priests, because God will take and he will bring the word out and God will speak through you. God is the one that will take that word out of your heart and bring it through your lips. And when you speak, whether you have the world or you have the word, you'll see it. Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, that the tongue has the power of life and death. And you will love it and eat the fruit thereof. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, he said, whatever you speak is either going to set you free or condemn you. The choice is yours. Amen. So here we find that, and I told you I'm not going to preach. That was not a preaching. Get that out of the way. Anyhow, you come to find that the word of God, God spoke to Joshua and says, he said to him, do not allow for the book of the law to depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So if you want to have the secret of a prosperous, successful life, then first and foremost, if you will allow the word to not depart from your mouth, if you will have the word embedded in your heart, and you meditate on it day and night, and you keep it as your priority, you always, always are feeding your spirit the word of God, and you read the word of God, then you are going to find that your life, the ultimate blessing you're going to receive, not only the divine revelation of reading the word, but the blessing you're going to receive is you are going to have prosperity and you are going to have success in your life. Can somebody say amen? Because right now I can tell by some of you that I know you have no prosperity. You have no success. You have no peace. You have no joy because the enemy has been stealing you blindly. He's been taking stuff from you, and I think that it's enough is enough is enough. It's time to know how to wear the full armor of God and stand your ground and let the enemy know you have no ability to mess with this person. I am paid and blood bought by the sacrificial lamb of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and I am paid for, and you can't have me. Amen? So we come to find in the Bible there's a man who was so prosperous and so successful that he was known by all. He had more success and more prosperity than anyone that had ever lived in his day. Matter of fact, he was known all around the world in his time zone because of his success and because of his prosperity. And that man was none other than Job. And why was he so prosperous and so successful? Look what it says in Job chapter 23. Look at verse 12. Job said, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more important than my daily bread. Job was prosperous. Job was successful because he had more desire to read the word of God than even eat any bread or any food. So if it came down to eating bread or reading Daniel, if it was going to be eating dinner or reading Daniel, he would have gone and read Daniel. If he was going to eat lunch or read Leviticus, he would have read Leviticus. He had a desire, a craving to read the word of God and not allow the word of God to be left aside from him. He didn't care about his own physical well-being. He only cared about his spiritual well-being. And because of that, Daniel had an absolute promise, as what Joshua 1:8 promises, that he experienced prosperity and he experienced success. Now I know that Job, did I say Daniel? Job went through hell and high water. He went through a major, major assault. We know that. He lost the allegiance of his wife. He lost his health, lost his wealth, his maidservants, men servants, and all of his cattle and animals. He lost his 10 children. He ended up out in the wilderness with boils all over his body. He was in a lot of pain. And even though that was all going on, look what Job said. Job chapter 1, verse 21. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. The name of the Lord be blessed. Does that sound like a man that was wavering? He had the word. He had the armor of God so he could stand against the wiles of the devil in a time where he was going through it. At a time, none of us, I don't know if we could endure what he had to endure. But he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. The name of the Lord be blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he said in verse 22, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. He went through a trial. He stood his ground on the word of God. He meditated on the word of God. And you know what happened? He came out of it with flying colors. He was only in about a 4 or 5 month trial, but in that 4 or 5 months, he lost everything. When it was all said and done, though, he gained everything back and then some. I told you before, he lost 10 children. They all died. And now the Bible says the latter part of his life, he had daughters, and they were the most fairest of all the women in Israel. They were beautiful, and they had a gracious spirit, is really what that means. Amen? So if you want prosperity and success, read the Word of God on a daily basis, meditate on the Word of God on a continual basis, and live your life according to what the Word says. And then God will come through, and God will give you prosperity, and God will give you success. You say, oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, sure. Doesn't happen in my life. Let me tell you something. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. It says that God is not a man that he should lie.
Amen.
He's not a man that he should lie. For the things that he said he will do, he will do it. If he said in his word over there in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, that I will give you success and I will give you prosperity, you can bank on it. But you have to live your life according to what he says. Read the word of God on a daily basis. Meditate on the word of God. And you live your life according to the word of God. And success and prosperity will be yours. But you need to read the word and read the word daily. Read the word daily. I know that you're probably thinking, but I can't do that every day. That's hard. And yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I can be honest with you. Sometimes it's hard for me to. But I want you to know that it's a new season. It's going to be a new season, a new day, a new time of great victory. And so I'm tired of seeing people walking around and everybody calls me and says, Pastor, my marriage is on the rocks. I'm divorced. I'm getting a divorce. Problems, problems, problems. And the whole reason why, because you don't have the Word of God. You don't have the knowledge of the Word of God. You don't have the full armor of God. If you have the full armor of God, you will be impenetrable. There's no ability that the enemy will have to have success over you. You will have victory and success over the powers of the air. No weapon formed against you will prosper because you are impenetrable. If you weren't here and heard last week's sermon, please look online and you can get that by looking up Living Manna Foursquare Church. Go to the webpage, go to the front page, punch on where it says, join us on Facebook. You'll see the sermons, and it's the last sermon you'll see. Listen to it. Listen to it. It'll give you the full identification of the full armor of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so I want to see people having the joy unspeakable and full of glory. That only comes when you are completely dressed. Dressed for success. Amen?
Amen?
With all that said, I'm going to give you three quick keys of how to read the Word of God and to be one that's going to read it, understand it, and retrieve the blessings of prosperity and success from it. The first key is read consistently. You probably thought, man, that was simple. Read consistently. What that means is read the Word of God every day, over and over and over and over. Keep on reading and don't give up. Well, I thought, wait a minute, I thought you were going to tell me something that was going to change a little bit because I told you, some of you told me, I'm giving up on reading the Word. I don't understand it. No, you're not going to understand it at first. Because you have to understand what's going on between you and the Word of God. Let me break it down for you. This Word is not human information. This Word, and there's many versions and varieties of versions as to how the Word comes, this Word is not man-made. We know that, right? It came from our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is not a man. He's a spirit. In a spiritual essence, a spiritual existence. Amen? So you come to understand the only one time that God came down on the earth was when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, laid down his deity, put on the full cloak of humanity, came down for 33 and a half years. He came down ultimately to go to the cross for my sin, your sin, all of our sins, past, present, and future sins. And he came, he took our sins, and he took the curse of our sin upon him. And in turn, he gave us grace. He graced us with his righteousness. But then he said, beam me up, Father. He went back up to be with the Father. Amen. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's seated now in a spiritual atmosphere. So you come to Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are spirit. This word is a spiritual word. It is spiritual manna. It's exactly what it is. It is a spiritual love letter given to you and I, human beings. But when you try to read the Word of God through some kind of human application, you're not going to be able to do it. There's no way for you to understand it. When I was in Geneva College, I went to Geneva College to play baseball there. I had somewhat of a scholarship, but I couldn't pass Bible. I know that's hard to believe. I couldn't pass the Bible exams because the denomination I came from, the religious organization I came from, always told us, don't ever read the Bible because it's not for lay people, it's only for the priests. And so I never read the Bible, but the Bible was always there. The Bible was always there on our mantle. It looked good. We got a big Bible, big white Bible we had. I never opened it. I never had no need. Now I go to Geneva. They want me to know who Abraham is. They want me to know who Nebuchadnezzar is. They want me to know Daniel. They wanted me to know all these names that I never saw before. And I had a hard time. I cheated to get a D. Let me tell you I cheated hard because I didn't even know where to cheat. But I was trying to read the Word of God through my own human application. And here's the humor of God. 12 years later, after I was born again and I studied and I learned through the Assembly of God and other denominations that had teachings online, and I got all my credentials and my education of how to read, how to learn, I want you to know that here I was one day standing in front of a graduating class at a school of theology in New York, and I was the guest minister. If they would have known about my past, they would have never asked me. But God had turned the switch. He switched things around. Amen. When you read the Word of God, you read it constantly. You read it constantly because you are having to fill your or grow your spirit, man. Your spirit has to grow. You never quit reading. You let your spirit grow, even though at first you don't understand it. I read the Word of God in 1 year. You can get those pamphlets in the back of a Bible, or you can go get a pamphlet at any place, any book and Bible school or store, and it'll tell you how to read the Bible in 1 year. And I was diligent. I read the Bible straight through in that 1 year. Did I understand it? Most of it, not. But I read it anyhow, and I read it, and after a year, I did it again, and I did it again, and I did it again, and I kept on reading it, and I kept on reading it. I refused to give up. I just refused to give up. I said, there's got to be something here. Come on. And I kept on reading it and kept on reading it. God wants you not to give up. He wants you to dig. Remember, I told you about the architect behavior. Keep on digging. Go under the surface. See what's really there. And in time, you're going to get something. And I'll show you how that happens. I'll show you how you get that. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. It said, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. But the glory of kings is to search out a matter. What's that mean? God purposely hides revelation knowledge under the surface of the Word of God. And God wants you and God wants me to come and look it up and read it and read it again and read it again. And you won't understand it immediately. You won't understand it immediately. So as you are studying, as you are reading, as you are constantly dining on the Word, maybe it'll be a week or two, a month or two, a year or two, or four or five or six, then one day, all of a sudden, that information comes at you. And when it comes out, and you start to understand the revelation of what God had hidden under the covers, you own it.
Amen.
You own it. You will never, ever forget it. And then, therefore, you will share it with others. John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. But the Holy Spirit will never bring to your remembrance anything you didn't put into the depository of your wellspring of life, your heart. If it's not in there, the Holy Spirit will not bring it out. Matthew 10:19, you never have to worry about what to say when you're confronted with others. But if there's nothing in there but the storage part of the world, that's all that's going to come out. Just the world. But if you have the Word of God in there, Jesus Christ will take that which is inside by the power of His Holy Spirit, and He will bring it out, and there comes your Rhema word. There comes the dagger that will destroy the evident powers of Satan. The Holy Spirit takes what you read time and time again, and then according to His time zone, He will give you the divine revelation that He wanted you to have at that time. But you have to keep on reading. You can't stop just because you don't understand it. Amen?
Amen, brother.
I'm going to show you something. For years, I read a chapter that I called the sleepy chapter. It's a chapter in the Bible that every time I got to it, I said, oh, no. You ever get to one of those chapters? Genesis chapter 5. It's a sleepy, put me to sleep, put me in a coma chapter. It's made up of nothing but begats and death. This guy begat this son, and then he died. This guy begat this son, and then he died. Made up of a whole bunch of bigots. Begat this guy, and then he died. He begat this guy. And that's all I ever got out of it. I couldn't wait to skim over it. And well, you can see it right there. Amen? Until one day, years after study, there I was, and I was going to do something different. I was going to stay on that chapter because, and there's a reason for it, when I traveled, I took the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, and I looked up their names one day because God had inspired me to do so, and I looked up the real, the Hebrew meaning of their names. And it meant something. Don't ask me what it meant now. I can't remember. It's been 15 years ago. But I gave a sermon on that, and it was dynamic, and people fell in love with the revelation and what was found. Well, when I was looking one day into Genesis chapter 5, it dawned on me what I remember having done with the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, looking up their names, and I thought, well, wait a minute. Maybe these names mean something. So what I did, I had a concordance. I had the computer, I was reading all kind of stuff, and I stood and I waited and I looked up those names. And now all of a sudden, Genesis chapter 5 became alive to me. Because here's what it says. Chapter 5, verse 4. After Adam begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years. Adam in Hebrew means man. Verse 6, Adam had a son named Seth. Seth means appointed. Seth had a son named Enosh. Enosh means subject to death. Verse 9, Enosh had a son named Canaan, which means sorrowful. Verse 12, Canaan had a son named Mahalalel, who was the first Hawaiian in the Bible. Amen? It means from the presence of God. Mahalalel had a son named Jared, means one comes down. Verse 18, Jared had a son named Enoch. Enoch means dedicated, and he was dedicated, so much so that God said, I'm taking him home. Didn't even have to die. Amen? Amen. Verse 21, Enoch had a son who lived longer than anyone else in history. His name was Methuselah. Methuselah means dying he shall send. And his name was a prophetic announcement because in the year that Methuselah died, God sent the flood. Verse 25, Methuselah had a son. His name was Lamech, poor and lowly. Verse 29, Lamech had a son, and his name was Noah, which means rest or comfort. And that's what I got. You said, so what? Well, let me show you so what. Let's break it all down. Adam, man. Seth, appointed. Enoch, subject to death. Canaan, sorrowful. Mahalalel, from the presence of God. One comes down, Jared. Enoch, dedicated. Methuselah, dying, he shall send. Lamech, to the poor and lowly. Noah, rest and comfort. Now we're going to read it in its totality, because some of you are still not getting it. Man appointed, subject to death, sorrowful from the presence of God. One comes down, dedicated, dying. He shall send to the poor and lowly, rest and comfort. Here's what it actually means. Man has been appointed, subject to death for his sins, and remains sorrowful from the presence of God. But one comes down. His name is Jesus Christ. One comes down, dedicated to die, and he shall send to the poor and lowly rest and comfort. Amen. All of it is there, embedded in Genesis chapter 5, the sleepy, sleepy portion of the Bible. When you spend the time, what you think is hobnob, there's nothing there, it comes alive. And revelation will be given to you. Amen? Amen. It's the entire gospel. And I don't know how many times I've read that chapter and almost fell asleep. But then all of a sudden, when that awoke, I owned it. Amen. I owned it. And now I'm able to share it with other people. It's the first time I've ever shared what the Lord had given me. But I was hooping and a hollering when I finally saw it, because I said, wow, there is something that is there, categorically there. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to dig ditches. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16, when the king of Judah was in a desperate situation, he was oppressed by all the enemy around him, and they were parched, there was no water, and the men were having a difficulty, nothing to drink, the animals were about to die, no water. So he calls upon the prophet Elijah. And Elijah comes and says to the king of Judah, he says to him, he said, King, dig ditches in the ground. Chapter 3, verse 16. He said, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. The next morning, after they dug the ditches, and nothing happened, no wind, no rain, no anything that would have said, okay, it rained last night. No, all the other ground was dry, but the ditches that they dug was full of water. When you are reading the Word, and you are reading the Word, and you are reading the Word, you are literally digging ditches in the Word of God. And one day you are going to find those ditches are going to be filled with prosperity and with success that God is going to give to you. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So the first key is to read continuously. And the second key is read expectantly. Read expectantly. In the Bible, there's an old, a minor prophet by the name of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk, his very name means wrestler. He was wrestling with something. He was wondering, why is it that God is not doing this? And why does he happen to be doing this? He wasn't sure. And so he was going to find out for himself. So he positioned himself in a place of expecting to hear from God. And so it says here, as we read in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2, it says, Habakkuk says, I will stand my watch. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. The rampart, by the way, this time of the year, allergies kill my voice. The rampart is a high wall, a defensive wall around the nation. He went up on top of the wall. He was standing on the wall because he wanted to get a bird's eye view of God, or at least to be able to hear without anything that was going to interrupt his ability to hear God. So he stood on the rampart and watched to see what he would say to me. And God showed up and God said to him, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he who run may, that he may run who reads it. So God is saying to him, I'm going to tell you what you've been looking for, but I want you to write it down on paper. And I want you to make sure that it is so focused and so articulated that anyone that comes by, whether they're walking or running, they're going to see the vision I've given you, and they are going to be able to share that vision and share it with others. Amen? So recognize something. You have to read consistently. You have to meditate on the word consistently. Live your life according to what you're reading consistently. And dig ditches in the Word of God that you are taking the time to read and see what the Lord would have you to see. But when it's all said and done, when God, it's to His glory to hide or conceal a matter. And as you are digging and digging and digging, when that matter comes to understanding, then you have to write it down. You have to write it down on a continuous basis. So listen to me. When you are reading the Word, first of all, you're reading the Word, you're filling your spirit. Amen? You don't stop reading the Word, even though you may not understand anything at first. But when you are reading the Word and reading the Word, then recognize, and I never let you hear this part, God, who is a spirit, is giving us spiritual manna. When you were, before you were formed in your mother's womb, you were a spirit. Amen. He said, before I formed you, I knew you. Now, how could he know me before he formed me? I was a spirit. You were a spirit. Amen? Amen. Then he knew the number of hairs upon your head. Then he called you by name. And then he gave you opportunity to be born. When you are born on this earth, you have a physical body. You look in the mirror and say, I know who I am. If you don't, you got to go to the hospital because you forgot who you were. We have a problem. But nonetheless, you know because of your face. And you say, well, I happen to be a human being with a spirit. No, you are a spiritual being with an outward epidermis. And because you are a spiritual being, you have to recognize God gave you spiritual manna. You read it, and as you concentrate on it and take little bits and pieces, then that word is going to get into your spirit. It's going to grow your spirit. You may not recognize, you may not understand any of it. But you keep on reading, you keep on reading, you keep on reading. Amen?
Amen.
But then what you have to do every day, you're reading whatever you're going to read, chapter after chapter, whatever you want to read. You keep feeding your spirit, man, because your spirit has to grow. But then you also take little chunks, maybe a verse or two or three or four. Just take little chunks of information and read it. And read it with pen and paper or pencil and paper in hand. You read it that way. Do not read the word with a lethargic attitude. People turn around and say, well, I'm going to read the Word of God today. And they announce it to everybody. Hey, listen to me. I'm going to go read the Word of God today. And they open up the Bible. They're flipping the pages. And they're saying, I'm going to read the book of Ephesians. No, I don't want to read the book of Ephesians. I'm going to read over here in the book of Leviticus. No, I don't want to read the book of Leviticus. I'm going to read over here the book of Galatians. And after a while, they say, I'm not going to read today. You know what? I read today. He's not going to say nothing to me. He never has. And so why would I expect that he's going to speak to me today? Well, let me tell you why you're not going to hear from him. With that kind of an attitude, you're not going to hear from him because you have no intimate desire to listen to him. But when you are reading the Word of God, don't give up, but come together with him with pencil and paper. Pencil and paper. Because when you come with pencil and paper, you are saying to the Lord, I'm only going to read what I've been reading and reading and I don't understand. But you know what, Lord? I'm trusting that you're going to give me something one of these days. And when you do, I want to be able to remember what you said, and I'm going to write it out. And I'm not going to let it go. And I'm going to own it. Because you're trusting that God is going to give you something powerful. You know, if Jesus Christ were to come here today in the flesh, every one of you would be, huh. And then also you'd be with pen or pencil and paper, because you would want to write down everything that he has to say. Amen. You would not by any means think, well, I'm just going to listen to him. You'd forget it. But when you are coming with the right attitude and you have the pencil and you have the paper and you are waiting on him, that is when you are going to receive from him. Amen. There's nothing magical in the pencil and paper. That's not where the power's at. It is actually a step of faith. You are saying, God, I know that I'm your child. I know that you want to speak to me. I don't have an understanding of this passage of information, but I just know that I know that there's got to be something there. So I'm trusting you're going to give me something worthwhile that is much more worthy to me than I even understand, and I'm going to make sure I jot it down. And so I want you to know that when you have a pencil and paper, that is when you are going to find that revelation knowledge is going to come. Whether you are in a Bible study, whether you are listening, reading your devotional, whatever, have pencil and paper. Get ready to write it down. If I told you that I knew what the next lottery numbers are going to be, you would all be here ready to write. And you'd say, slow it down a little bit, Pastor. I want to make sure I get the right numbers. And I'd be saying it to you. You'd be writing them all down, wouldn't you? You know why? Because you want to be rich. But yet, when it comes to the Word of God, why don't you want to be enriched? And what I found is you have to be enriched by not only scanning over the Word of God, and here you're not, and it's okay because you're feeding your spirit, but here's what happens. You scan over it for 10 years, you get no revelation, and after a while you say, he doesn't speak to me. So you quit. And when you quit, then your spirit man shrivels. And your flesh will increase. Before you know it, you are walking by sight, okay, and not by faith. What happens? You have no armor. Next thing you know, you're being ripped apart, and the enemy has invaded, and he's stealing from you. And it's time that we stop that. Amen? So with all that said, Habakkuk, he positioned himself. He said, I need to hear from God. And God said, okay, this is what I want you to know. And then God turned around and said to Habakkuk, what I'm about to give to you, have it focused, have it articulated, write it down, write the vision down. When you write the vision down, one thing you won't find in the book of Habakkuk, you won't find that Habakkuk says, hold your thought, I need to go get a pencil. No, he had all that he had to have. That's why he and so many others were able to write what we know as the Living Bible. God took 44 men and wrote 66 books of the Bible, 37 Old Testament, 29 New Testament, and he put it all together. God is the author. He is the one who has inspired men to write the Word of God. Amen? And so recognize it is spiritual manna. And so when you understand that, don't say, I forgot my pen. Don't even sit and begin to read until you are in a quiet place and you are taking notes. Amen. And lend an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As a minister, I've been striving to get every one of you to start writing down scriptures, to be a student of the Word, because it blesses my heart when you come in and there is an atmosphere of people that are studious and they want to know what the Word of God says. It really blesses me when I see people come in and they bring their Bible. Not just to bring their Bible, it blesses me that they bring their Bible and they literally open it up. If I say, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, they're there. That tells me, in the privacy of their life, they're reading the Word of God. Amen? Because when you read the Word of God and you have knowledge of the Word of God, now why do we put it on the overhead? I put it on the overhead because when I'm preaching, I talk fast. And I know Tyler has trouble keeping up with me, but at least it's up there for you to be able to see everything. And the reality is he even gets ahead of me. He's quick. He's quick on the draw. But nonetheless, it blesses my heart to see people that are growing in the Lord. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. If you are diligently seeking him, you are going to be a recipient of the word or the undergirded message or devotion or revelation that he has for you. It's going to absolutely be there for you. Amen. So first of all, read continuously. Second of all, read expectantly with paper and pencil in hand. And third and last, and very, very short, what I want to say to you, read conversationally. Read conversationally. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel's reading the Word of God. He's reading about what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah had given a prophecy several years earlier and said, because of the idolatry of Israel, that they were going to have, God was going to call for a northern nation to come, which was the Babylonian nation, and he was going to have them brought into captivity, and they were going to stay in captivity for some 70 years. And all of that happened. Daniel, reading that, says, hey, you know what? We have come to the end of 70 years. We're about to end it now. So he goes before God, and he's saying, God, we know that we deserved what we got, that we have been brought into this hostage situation. We are into this captivity. But now, what do you have for us? So what he's doing, he's reading the word, and he's communicating with God. So you have the paper and pen, and then you also communicate with God. You keep talking to him and letting him know, I want to develop a relationship with you. God turned around and sent Gabriel, and Gabriel said, do not be afraid. And he gave him all that Daniel was looking for. And even more so, because some of the information given to Daniel, Daniel said, was told, don't even expose it. You have to close the books on this. It's not for this time zone. Amen? So you communicate. You have conversation. You know, if I would call my wife, most of my time is spent here, if I would call my wife and say, hey, honey, listen, I got about 10 minutes of information I want to share with you. Don't interrupt me. I got to tell you something. And I just go, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba- You think I could get away with that? What if she called me and she said, I have something to say? Click. I can get away with that because she's downstairs. That's not intimate. There's no intimacy in a relationship there. And there's no intimacy in a relationship unless you take the time. Read the whole Word of God in a year or two. Keep on reading it. And as you are reading it, you are feeding your spirit. You may not understand a word of what you're reading. It's okay. But your spirit, man, knows what you're reading. God is wanting you to put a storage into the storage tank of your heart, of the wellspring of your heart. Keep on feeding it. Because, see, as more word goes in, more of the filth of the world comes out. If you take a dirty glass and you hold it under water and just keep it held under that spigot, eventually it's bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. And after maybe an hour or so, all that dirt that was in that glass is going to pour over, and then you're going to have crystal clear water. When you are putting the word in and the word in and the word in, all the filth and immorality and debauchery that you have sort of got a hold of out there in the world, it's going to come out. It's going to bubble out. It's going to flow out. And then you are purified because you are putting the word of God in over and over and over and over again. But as you are feeding yourself, maybe chapter after chapter, every day you want to read. But then take a little parcel, maybe in the evening hour, you've done that through the day, in the evening hour, keep going over those verses, maybe two or three verses that don't have any understanding to them. And what you do, you sit down in a quiet place and you turn around with pencil and paper and you say, well, Lord, I know you have something important here. And I don't know exactly what it is. And I've been reading this and it puts me to sleep. But I'm going to trust that you're going to give me something worthwhile that is pertinent to my life at this time in my life. And as you communicate with God, God is going to open up because of the relationship, because it is to the glory of God that a matter is concealed, but it is to the glory of a king that the riches of the matter will be unveiled. And so as you keep on studying and you look at those few verses, few chapters, whatever, and you keep on speaking, keep on talking, keep on asking. This can't be done in a group session. This is only you and God.
Amen.
You and God. And you keep on asking. I guarantee you, maybe it'll take a while, but it's coming. Revelation knowledge is going to come. Amen. And when that revelation comes, not only will you own it, you will be able to share it. And now you have opened up the spigot of heaven. Now more revelation is going to come. More understanding is going to come because, see, as your spirit begins to grow, greater understanding. You can't take a baby and feed that baby steak on the second day on the earth. You kill that baby, right? You give that baby milk. Then you give that baby Pablum. Then you give that baby soft cereal. And then in due time, you give them a little piece of this or a little piece of that. But after a while, you can give them full food. And after a while, they eat you out of house and home. So you stop at the milk, right? But the truth of the matter is, you have a babe in Christ inside of you, and as you are feeding it, you won't understand it, but as you are growing, you're going from a babe, you're going to an adolescent. One day you will be a mature Christian, armored individual in the army of God. And as you are there now, revelation knowledge is going to come, and you are going to grow and grow and grow into the deeper knowledge of what has been hidden under the surface that God wanted to reveal just to you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Stand with me, please. I want you to stand with me. I want to put some music on. Lift up your hands and praise the Lord like you did when you first came in. Praying up front at the onset of the service. God has been truly coming and he's been vindicated. Our time spent with him, the loyalty of prayer. So last week, I know that Stephen, Mike's mom, came up from
to the Lord on high. God wonders beyond our galaxy.
God universe declares your majesty. So if you are invalid,
you are whole.
Doesn't have to be a physical malady. It can be whatever it is. If it's financial, if it's marital, if it's children, if it's a job problem, whatever the case is, I'm going to invite you to come up. Because I believe with all my heart, you're going to walk away from here, and you're going to be totally, totally anew. You're not going to leave this altar the way you came. But it'll be by your faith that you are going to activate the Word of God. The Word of God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay? That's what we read in Hebrews chapter 11. And the reality of why it's impossible to please God, because God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So every spiritual blessing you are to have need of has already been provided to you, even though the enemy has come and he has tried to steal your blessing. It doesn't mean that God says, oh my God, I ran out of blessings. I can't give more and more blessings. No, it's an overflow. It's called grace upon grace upon grace. He keeps on gracing you with many blessings. But for you to receive the blessing of what he's already provided and promised you, you have to have the faith of activating and saying, I believe, I know what you said you can do for me, Lord. I'm not going to walk by my own power. It's not by my might, nor by my power. It's by your Spirit. And so by your Spirit, I am going to see the invasion of heaven come and adorn my life, that I am going to be totally healed of my circumstances. If that's you, I invite you to come up here with me.
God of wonders, oh God of wonders, beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy.
Anyone else?
The universe declares your majesty, yes it does. You are holy. Oh, precious Lord, reveal your heart to me. Father, hold me. Hold me. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy. Holy. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. You are holy, holy.
The Bible says being sick among you.
God of wonders, God of wonders, the universe declares your majesty, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Bless you, Lord. You are great, wonderful, holy. Righteous. I love that line. Precious Lord, reveal your heart to me. Father, hold me. Hold me.
But instead, be transformed.
You are holy.
It's actually a compound, double compound Greek word. Meta means the hereafter.
You are holy.
Tomorrow. Mortal means the hereafter in this season. The next season now. Tomorrow happening today.
You
see yourself walking in the victory of what God shows you, of how He's going to show you that you're walking in the victory tomorrow, but now you already are making the adjustments today. You are going to walk in that adjusted new beginning of what God has for you. You're not going to have to endure any operation. You're not going to have to endure anything that that man says. You are going to see the ability of what God says is yours for the taking. It is absolutely yours for the taking. But it can all be yours simply by faith. Simply by believing. Do you believe? Be of God. Amen. Say, I am the healer of the Lord. I am the healer. You keep on saying that. Out of every flow of your mind. The heart
will enter. I will enter with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter with yes, courts with praise.
Nothing wrong with him down there. He's totally healed. Father, we just praise you. Thank you, Father. Father, you can move the mountains. The mountains will only move. We speak in my face.
This is my desire. Every moment I have away,
everything that's stolen from them will be provided again, Father God, in greater twofold abundance.